So in Rome, at noon, Pope Francis today at the Angelus said to this throng of people, he gets about 100,000 folks on a Sunday. It's amazing what's happening in that great city. And he stood up there and he said, "People of Rome, will you be a burning torch, a fire?" And they shouted back, "We will be a burning torch." What if I asked you that? Are you ready to be a burning torch this week?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. All right. So let's see if we can get there. The first reading is Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah talks to a people that have been in captivity. They've been separated and distanced and lost and disappointed, and they've been gone. They've been in Babylon. They're back. And Isaiah says to them clearly, you must now be faithful to Yahweh. But how are you faithful to Yahweh? He says you are faithful to Yahweh if you will take care of those who have far less. And he uses a word that I think is very important and we might forget or might skip. He says we must share what we have. Share our meals. Share our life. Not just drop something off at a local center where they'll distribute something. No. With the person. Sharing with the person. Connected with the person. So that we feel that we are literally equal. That we are part of the human condition. And what we give and what we share and what we have is something we do together. So I'm reading America Magazine. It's a great magazine that comes out every week. It's written by a group of Jesuits in New York City. And they always give a little reflection at the end of what the gospel is about for this Sunday. So John Martins, he's a Jesuit priest. He says he lives in the freezing country of Minnesota. And he said, I sent out a tweet the other day. It said, best part of a polar vortex is the ability to be in a warm house and cozy up and enjoy time with the family. Pray for those who are not warm tonight. He said an unknown Twitter came back to him within seconds, and it said, don't pray for them, help them. Take some blankets, winter coats, money to your local center and shelter now. I thought about that. See, Isaiah is saying, it's easy to tweet. God bless you. I love you. Hope everything works out. Pretty sterile. But it's very different when we share a meal, when we bring a blanket, when we participate in the lives of people who need us. Young children, old people out on the streets. It's not enough, my brothers and sisters, for a nice tweet. That's right from the mouth of Isaiah the prophet today. But the gospel tonight speaks, as Pope Francis did today, about whether or not we are light to the world and salt. Salt meaning, do we give a little flavor? Are we on our toes? Are we willing to look at things in somewhat a little spicier, different way? So I found this beautiful little sentence. Actually, it's a little paragraph from John Shea. Listen to this, folks. This is what he says. When we realize our identities as salt and light, we begin to have faith in a world as a corollary of our faith in God. God's energies are directed to the betterment of this world. I don't know if we even realize that. God's whole purpose is to make this world, to make you a better person. That's what he spends his time doing. That's what grace is about. That's his whole life purpose gift, to make a better world. I'm adding, but that's what it says. The world, for all its recalcitrance, is in the process of becoming the good creation. So God's people are driven by that same purpose. So if we are followers of our God, if we are to be imitators of Christ, then if God's purpose is to make a better world, it's our purpose to make a better world, to do something. And then he ends by saying this. We are the flavor, the fire of this development. Think big. Think new. Think creative. I love that. Think big. Think new. Think creative. And so it's a very simple message for us, I think, today. Both in Isaiah and Matthew have just pronounced the great Beatitudes. It's telling us that if we have a care for those in our lives that need us, that need our care and love and support, our lives will be light. Our lives will be salt. We will make a difference. It may not be a gigantic platform of the world, because you and I, most of us are not called to do that. But in our own little place, in our own little way, in our own little circumstance, that we will do something to be a light, to be a salt, to be thinking a little bigger, to think a little bit more new, a little more creative in our world. So, on Friday, I've been meaning to go out to Earth Cafe. You know there's an Earth in Santa Monica, but that's not the one I'm thinking about. Earth Cafe has the central headquarters in downtown Los Angeles. And it's literally on Hewitt Street. Do you know where Hewitt is? Well, maybe you know, but I didn't know. It's way over on the other side of the city, just before you go over the bridge to go into East Los Angeles. So it's like in the garment district. It's in the... I won't tell you what I think it looks like, but it's a rough section of the city. It's not pretty. And right in the midst of that, in the 400 block, is this incredible Earth Cafe. And he has taken an egg factory, an old brick egg factory. I don't know what they did there to make eggs, I guess, but whatever they did, there it was. And he's created this incredible cafe using the same brick, using the same woods, Trying to maintain the integrity of an old structure, and he's created this thing. He said to me on Friday, his name is Shalom, and his wife's name is, I always got it wrong, Julia, I think, Julia. They're extraordinary people. The reason why I went is because they came here when they found out that we were opening our little coffee house. And through the aegis of detention ministry, we have six of our kids who are working here. And these kids have been in trouble. They have not had a perfect life like you and I have had. They've had troubles. They needed a second chance. And this is a place where they're getting a second chance. They got a job now. They're getting a paycheck. They're working with great people. That's what's going on in that cafe. Right outside your door here. And so, along with adults. And so, because he felt that that was such a good thing, and Shalom and Gillette's heart is so strong for that, he wanted to participate. He hadn't done that before with any other thing. It was always his own business. And so he gave us the equipment. He taught people how to be baristas. He gave us coffee, organic, free trade, East Africa coffee, at his price to sell in our store, now giving us brownies to die for, trust me. And all kinds of cookies and things. But, you know, I wanted to know what made this man tick. So I went over there and I saw this place. And it's incredible. 2,000 people a day are in that cafe. 2,000. And he's got 400 people working for him. He's got a place in, I think he started in Manhattan Beach, but that was closed. So he's got a place in Beverly Hills, I think. He's got the one in Santa Monica, Venice. He's got a place now, I think, in Japan. He's building one in Laguna. But what strikes me isn't that it was fun just to be in there, to see all these people. But what strikes me, and the thing that was so magnificent to see, and then to talk to his wife and to him, they said to me, the product is important, Monsignor. That's important. But, and he kept insisting, they kept insisting, what's more important is how you treat the people when they come in. That you make them feel that they are honored guests, that you get to know their name, that you understand what they like, that you treat them with a certain... And the 400 people that he has working for him are the Anawim. The people that are working in Earth Cafe, folks, are the poorest young people in our city. Those are the people he's given the opportunity and changed their lives. I thought to myself, isn't that an incredible thing? A young couple coming to our city, looking around and seeing something that needed to be done. A great place where people can gather. He goes to East Africa 2 or 3 times a year. And he goes not just for his health, he goes to make sure that the coffee he gets is a fair traded coffee so that the people that are doing the work in East Africa have something out of which they can then buy a little house and live with a certain amount of integrity and decency in their lives. That's a light. Right on Hewitt Street in Los Angeles, a light to the world. A reminder to all of us, I think, to think big, to think new, to think creative, to gather people and to do your best in your own way. You may not be able to open a cafe, but something, folks, something that will help this world. Something that will bring some light into people's lives. Something that's new and creative and fun and energizing. I just love that, as you can tell. I just thought that was such a wonderful thing to see, and it's exactly what this gospel says. My brothers and sisters, there is a power. If there's anything else I could ever say to you, don't pay any attention to it. There is a power greater than ourselves. And we need to see that. There is a power greater than ourselves that's in this great world of ours. Creating, renewing, making a better world. And if we just had the eyes to see it and the will to embrace that, the eyes to see it, and the will to embrace it. What a difference you and I could make in this world. So that's my little thought tonight. I hope that somehow, some ways, this week moves along. We can remember that light. And we can remember that salt. And just think of those three simple little phrases. Think big. Think new. Think creative. So folks, are we going to be a blazing lantern this week in Santa Monica? Yes. Good for you. Amen. Thank you. Oh, Pope Francis would be pleased. At least I hope he'd be pleased. You never know. Let's stand together.